Listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. Hi, it's John Williams. As always, thank you for joining us. We're here weekdays, Monday through Friday, from noon to 1. Then Anna DeVlantis comes your way. With Terry Savage joining us on Wednesdays. It's always a busy and popular segment of our show. Call or text right now, 312-981-7200. Pete, I'll let you put Terry up, but I also want to bring Steve Alexander, our business reporter, in on this as we get rolling here. Just because a little while ago I asked you to make sure I was clear on the negotiations between Steve Mnuchin and the Congress on this stimulus bill. What did you just say a minute ago?
Well, let's recap the last 24 hours. Senate Leader McConnell put forward what some call a skinny bill offer, although skinny seems an odd use of a word when you're talking hundreds of billions of dollars. Democrats rejected it, largely because it included no aid for state and local governments. Republicans didn't like it. Some Republicans didn't like it because it did not provide liability coverage for businesses whose employees become sick with COVID. Then Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, on behalf of the White House, unveiled a revised $916 billion compromise deal that would include a $600 second stimulus check for most of us, but it removes the $300 a week in extra unemployment benefit. Senators on both sides of the aisle have supported that extra $300. So anyway, the clock is ticking. December 18th is when Congress is supposed to go home, although they have stayed past that in the past to get things done.
Very interesting. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Alexander, WGN Radio Business, and Terry Savage. It's like a little shell game. All right, we're not going to give you the $300 here, but we'll give you $300 more over there or $600 here. That's, I guess, how they make the sausage.
Yeah. No, it's more than that. There's an impact on people because unemployment benefits go to people who are out of work and not earning money. The stimulus presumably would go to whatever criteria they decide. Yeah. So people who collect it might also still have income. And it's today the silence is deafening. There are three players. There are the Democrats, there are the Republicans, and then there's the White House. And today, really, nobody's come out and said anything about where they stand. But the one thing we know is that, A, they want to go home. B, they want to keep the government going because they won't get their paychecks if they don't. So this stimulus proposal, rescue proposal, whatever you want to call it, is attached to a couple of very important bills that keep the government going and the Defense Department funded. And so there is a lot of incentive for them to come to some conclusion and to get the heck out of town so they can get home for their holidays.
I guess there's things I don't like and do like in either version of it. I guess nothing's going to be perfect, but something's better than nothing, would you say, Terry?
Yeah, but because there will be another bite at the apple that can happen in January, at the end of January or February, depending a lot, of course, on how it plays out in Georgia. With the majority potentially for the Democrats. So the critical time is now. I mean, this critical end to the unemployment benefits for so many people, that's really important. I wish I were there and I could have I feel like a lion tamer in the circus, you know, snapping my whip at all of them, snarling and saying, get on your pedestals and do what I say.
Yeah, no kidding. I think that's how all of us feel, particularly since I think all of us feel like it would be relatively easy to do any of these if enough of you would just compromise a little bit more. But therein lies the rub. My number's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Your calls or your texts are welcome. Terry will take your calls in just a minute. And maybe you want to get started, Terry, on kids' holiday money gifts. You've been writing about giving money as a gift at Christmas.
Yeah, well, I always write this story because I know that grandparents, particularly now that I is one, understand or they're wondering, what do I give that'll be appreciated in a different kind of a way? The toys are broken in a few weeks. The clothes are outgrown. So if we got a minute here, let me just give you a couple of headlines. First of all, 529 college savings account. Go to terrysavage.com. There are links on how to do all these things in my top column here. But you can make a contribution that will grow tax-free for any college in any state. children in the same family can use it interchangeably. So if one gets a scholarship, the other one can use the money. And it all grows tax-free for any college in any state. In Illinois, if you're a resident, you get a small tax deduction on your state income taxes for contributing to the Illinois plan. A lot of grandparents say, no, but I'll do that, but I want to teach my child or grandchild about the stock market. I want to get them interested. There's a link to stockpile.com with as little as $5. You can open an account for a child, and you can choose a stock or work with them to choose a stock. It's actually a very simple process, and they have gift cards if you act quickly. And, you know, you're not trading. You don't get to set limits. And you remember that if you have too much money in a child's name at time for financial aid, that'll be a big negative. But surely this is like stamp collecting. It must have been about 75 or 100 years ago. Stock collecting is a great thing to do. They can get all kinds of educational tools. And finally, one more. I love this. The Money Savvy Piggy Bank. I mention it every year. It's a Susan Beecham of the Money Savvy Generation, which is MoneySavvy, SAVVY.com. Created this translucent piggy bank that has sections, save, spend, donate, and invest. You can get it on Amazon, the Money Savvy Piggy Bank. And what a great gift for, you know, 6- and 7-year-olds. Everybody says, oh, no, we don't want them to touch money. It's dirty. I remember my mother saying, wash your hands after you touch money. But even then, it didn't stop me from wanting to collect money. And I think it's a good way to start.
I think it's a risk that is people would be willing to take, as it is their money that they will be saving or maybe investing. Okay, 312-981-7200. Financial expert Terry Savage is on a phone line. TerrySavage.com is her website, and our number is 312-981-7200. Ready for some calls, Terry?
Absolutely.
Frank, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Frank? You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Chair, hopefully you can help me. I just probably had a heart attack. I read an article in the paper the other day that the PPP loans are not going to be allowed, are going to be taxable because they won't allow you to deduct the expenses you paid with that. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Usually, if you're a small business and you have a payroll, everything you pay out is a tax deduction against your revenues. The PPP loans were designed to take the place of payroll, to keep people on the payroll. But the ruling so far, and there's some question about whether that may change in the new year when you're before you're ready to make your tax return, is that money received from the government and used to pay out payroll is not a deduction. In effect, it sort of makes it taxable. Now, I've waited to comment on this because there's some sense from the people I talk to that that could be revised, adjusted, reinterpreted in some way when the new administration comes in. But for the moment, yes, if your business managed to eke out $100,000 in income, and that was only because you paid out $92,000 of it in money that you got from the PPP program, you're now going to have to pay taxes on that $100,000 of income.
What does this mean to you, Frank? What are the consequences for you, Frank?
It means I got to find money that I don't have. I mean, the whole point was to help me through this.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to owe money on it? That's totally contradictory to the whole purpose of it.
Absolutely. So I'm just saying, don't have a heart attack yet. I would say there's a better than 50-50 chance that that ruling might be adjusted.
If I may, though,
and it might be dealt with in the next stimulus program because they're going to redo the PPP as part of it. That seems to be the one thing they can agree on. So there might be, as part of this, whatever they do next, some kind of adjustment on that.
But, Frank, it may mean that you have to find 25 cents on the dollar. That's not a I'm not busting you here. I'm just trying to figure this out. I didn't know that either. But would you not have taken the loan if you knew you had to pay taxes on it?
Well, of course, I'm still coming out ahead, but the point is I'm not making any money right now. I mean, this was just to keep my employees going, and all of a sudden I'm going to own 25 cents on the dollar. I don't have those 25 cents. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still take the money because I'm coming out ahead better than I was, and my employees came out ahead, so I didn't have to fire them. But I'm still, all of a sudden, I'm going to have this tax bill that I don't have the money for.
Let me make you a list of the perverse ways that these attempts to help have actually backfired. This is one big one. The fact that many people are getting letters from the unemployment department saying, we paid you too much on your self-employment. Send us money. I've gotten many emails on that. I'm trying to figure out how to work that, to get through to them to figure out why, you know, and yet many people who should be getting unemployment don't get it. There's a lot of perverse things that are happening. They didn't plan very well at the beginning. I think that this one, though, Frank, is going to be one that you might luck out on with when they come through and realize the impact of it.
There's a little hope there, Frank. Thanks. Go ahead.
Is there anything I can do to make sure they do reverse it?
You can, you know, this is something I would write to Senator Durbin. I think every small business who got PPP money used it properly to keep people on the payroll, and now it's realizing that you can't deduct that. They should write to Senator Durbin. I think he's on top of this, and that would make a difference.
I've done that already, so hopefully it helps.
All right. Good luck, Frank.
I hope so.
Thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry to hear that. I'm glad you brought it up. Obviously, Senator Duckworth is our other senator.
Or Senator Duckworth, right.
Absolutely. Let's talk to Mary. You're on WGN. Mary, how can we help you?
Hi. I have been a hairdresser for years, but the last 7 years I worked at a salon that was a W-2. I was an employee along with all the other employees that were there. And then COVID happened, and we ended up all trying to apply for unemployment, and once we did, we all got denied, and it took, like, I can't even tell you all the nonsense we had to go through. But what it turns out is our boss, for 7 years, never paid our taxes. She collected the money from our paychecks every week, took out our Social Security, our FICA, our everything that you have to take out, all the taxes, and she kept it. And then she never paid her part, and she even called, we found out, in 2016, and she said that told IDES not to send the quarterly statements because she had no employees.
She needs to go to jail.
That was my immediate reaction. That is fraud.
Yeah, well, I ended up finding the nicest man at the Social Security office in Woodridge, told him we had to prove that we all had W-2s every year. I had canceled checks, I had bank deposits, so it shows that we work there. So he adjusted, because it showed on our lifetime earnings, Social Security, that none of us work there. We had zeros. And shame on me, because my husband brought it up, and my boss told me, oh, you used to be a 1099, and it just takes a long time. So we kind of
6 years.
Let it go.
So what's your question?
But real question. So we, two or three of us finally got unemployment months ago, but a lot of the other girls never got it. But that's their issue to do. I tried helping them the best I could. But now we have January, February, March, April, May, which I was still employed there. I'm really sure she's not going to send out W-2s for us. So what do I do for taxes? I got paychecks. She took money out. She never paid it. And now I'm not going to get a W-2.
You know, it's an obligation. It's a tax obligation. So you would contact the IRS and say, I never received my W-2 form from this company. I think this woman who's the owner is going to be in a lot of trouble. But you want to get it on the record. You might try the tax ombudsman's office. Just Google that, IRS ombudsman. And when you don't, by the end of January, get a W-2 form, you need to contact them and say, we've had this kind of trouble, and I don't want to be in any trouble. So I want it on the record that I know I made money for a few months last year, but I have not gotten a W-2 form.
The obligation is on you to pay. Regardless, it could get lost in the mail. Just figure out what you owe and pay that or calculate it accordingly.
No. You don't want to get ahead of yourself, because the government isn't receiving any forms from this company saying they paid you, so they won't know where to apply this taxes. They will have no record. If she doesn't send in all her W-2 forms, her copy to the government saying, I paid Susan, Nancy, and Mary this money, they're not going to know what. Then you're going to have paid money in and to a black hole. So it's her obligation to send you the W-2 and file it with the government. I think this woman's in a lot of trouble, but you want to get on the record that you're trying to pay, but don't send the money in until they ask for it specifically.
Well put. Okay, thank you, Terry, and good luck to you, Mary. Thanks for the call. We'll pause here. WGN Radio News headlines at the bottom of the hour. Terry, we're out of time today.
Here's a headline from the Wall Street Journal or CNBC. Mortgage rates set 14th record low of the year. This is what you need to be doing in this 3 weeks when you're not cooking a turkey and getting together with a family. Even if you already refinanced, do it again, because in the bond market, interest rates are creeping up and mortgage rates are still at record lows. So you could get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage well under 3%, and this is the time to refinance. So that's my Terry's tip for the day while I run off to this meeting.
Go, Terry, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, John.
You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Philip Weiss joins us. He's the president at Seyfarth at Work, S-E-Y-F-A-R-T-H, Seyfarth.com is the website. Philip, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, John.
You having a crazy Christmas party over there?
You know, we're thinking about it, as are a lot of businesses and business owners, and it's probably going to be crazy in some unusual ways this year, given COVID and everything that you've been saying on your show about adjusting to a new reality.
And by crazy, you won't be wearing your shirt and coat, is that correct?
Well, you know, since we are in the legal field, crazy for us might mean that we don't go quite that far, but we try something new and creative, which is what a lot of companies have to do, given the fact that their parties are not going to be in person, and they got to find a way to do this remotely, as they are with everything else.
Do you recommend that they even try at all? I mean, what's the point of a Christmas party if we're doing it over Zoom anyway?
Yeah, well, that has been the debate among a lot of employees as well as executives. And when they've surveyed their own workforce, interestingly, over the last 2 to 3 months, the results have come back that people do want to mark the occasion in some way and try to mimic the festive nature of an in-person party. And that's been a challenge. So they know their employees want the party, but how they accomplish it is a whole different question. And so companies have been looking at ways to get people engaged, give them online activities. Some have created virtual party rooms where people don a VR headset and attend as an avatar. They've been trying a little bit of everything to make these parties memorable.
Well, I'm just thinking of a bunch of inset screens on a Zoom call because that's low-tech and maybe as high-tech as some people are going to get at this. What mistakes have companies been making?
Yeah, well, you raise a really important point, which is without a big party budget, you're probably going to use what you've been using for all these video conferences all year long. And the problems that we've seen in terms of video, Zoom, Google Hangout setups apply in some really unique ways to holiday parties. So we've already had clients calling us, John, because their party participants were not careful about what they had in the background. They might have had murals with religious iconography, religious images. One participant at a Zoom party last week had the word God Almighty displayed across the back wall along with a number of realistic prophets being depicted. And somebody else at the same party had posters of underwear models in Santa Elf-styled outfits, minimal as they were. So in that one party, they had two inappropriate image risks from participants, and they had to talk to both of them separately.
Why is God Almighty wrong?
Well, that's a great question. And the reality is that we're not going to necessarily want to or be able to limit any kind of religious expression, and that's never the goal. Private expression, something that is personal in nature, that's something that we all understand. The idea that you would have a large-scale message emblazoned across your wall in a very, very apparent fashion is something that did cause others on the Zoom call to voice discomfort. So that one was not the kind of thing which was all or nothing. It was really a conversation about maybe just redirecting your camera so that people aren't seeing a religious message the entire party.
Well, that's a tricky area for people in all Zoom business calls. That is, what do you show? How much do you show? How is it positioned? And maybe you do want to widen the frame because you want to show more of your environment to sort of enhance the party, but maybe you shouldn't do that too. I don't know.
Yeah, well, that is a really important balance. The other issue with parties, of course, John, is people who are participating from home, which is the whole point of this exercise, often have started drinking the eggnog themselves before ever logging in. So they're already in a somewhat more casual, relaxed mode, And therefore, even the positioning of the camera is something that you have to remind people about, which is to say, check out your background. Make sure your camera stays in a fixed location so people don't take the laptop with them when they go to the washroom, which we have seen to be an issue in all kinds
really?
Of Zoom meetings,
oh, come on.
Particularly at party time.
You shared with Pete, my producer, an overly creative employee shared a video of a team member avatars hugging and kissing one another under a cartoon mistletoe. Clever that the person knew to do that, but they were disciplined as a result. And at one recent virtual party hosted by a marketing firm, several participants were privately ranking their coworkers on Zoom hotness, including placing their colleagues into attractiveness categories, either close up or camera off. You can have those sidebar chats. I don't know what the harm, well, that sounds bad, but I don't know how harmful it is if other people are unaware of it. So I'm having a private conversation with you. Not everybody at least sees that, right?
Yeah, so it certainly depends on two important factors. One is, what system are you using? Because there are companies who set up holiday party video conferences on their own system, and therefore the human resource team had access to all the chat, both that was shared with the entire group and one-on-one.
Oh.
Plus, as we know from many years of watching these kinds of events, people are very likely to take screenshots, even a photo of their screen, send it to others in the workplace because they wanted to share that moment of merriment with them afterwards, and then it became a group discussion. It is hard to keep these one-on-one conversations truly confidential. Plus, the recipient might be offended, even if they don't raise that in the moment, and that then could become an issue for the company. So that whole notion of, remember, the boundaries of the company extend to these virtual events. The rules of the company apply to the party, even if we're going to be in a hopefully even better mood. But therefore, you still want to think about your own conduct boundaries as well.
We're out of time, but I think one of the most helpful tips you passed along to us was give them guidelines. Let them know what the structure and the guidelines and boundaries will be, and they're smart people. They'll probably follow along. If you want to know more, I'd visit SafeArth.com, SeyFarth, Philip Weiss from SafeArth. Nice to talk to you, Philip. As always, thanks for your expertise.
Thanks for having me, John.
That's Philip Weiss from SafeArth. Okay, into the WGN Radio Newsroom now. Let's keep rolling on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Gap is closing its Michigan Avenue location early next year in efforts to focus on e-commerce. The retailer announced in October it plans to shutter nearly 350 Gap and Banana Republic stores in North America by the end of 2023. The Michigan Avenue location will close on January 24th. Gap opened at 555 North Michigan in 2000, but the retailers had a presence on the Mag Mile since at least the mid-90s. United Airlines is launching a new virtual customer service. Passengers can call, text, or video chat with an agent for help with seat assignments, boarding times, and other customer service questions. It's now available at O'Hare and at Houston's George Bush International Airport. The program will expand to United's other airport hubs by the end of the year. Some McDonald's franchisees say they'll raise prices on Happy Meals after the company revoked a long-standing subsidy for meals. The company is ending a roughly $300 a month subsidy that it's paid each of the 14,000 U.S. restaurants for years to cover the cost of toys included in the meals. The children's meals sell for an average of $3.76 nationally, and that could go up 20 cents or more. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Jared Meltman joins us now. You know that name, executive partner, Lennis Entertain You Restaurants Enterprises. Jared, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, good afternoon.
You guys are doing Hanukkah starts tomorrow, right?
It does, yeah, the 10th.
Now let's talk about what you guys have got lined up. Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of fun dinners for two, dinners for four, all the way up to dinners for eight. From a lot of different restaurants. We're doing stuff at ABBA and EMA. We're doing stuff at Hub 51. We're doing stuff at RPM Steak. So, as well as a lot of our suburban locations, Elwoods and Wildfire. So, we've been seeing just a tremendous response for these Hanukkah dinners. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. How many restaurants in the Let Us Entertain You empire?
Oh, it's around 100. I don't know exactly.
And is this where I order from one restaurant, or are you taking food from different restaurants and combining them into a Hanukkah dinner?
Well, we have something called our Best of Lettuce Delivered, where you can mix and match from different restaurants. So that's something that's around every weekend. And you can either pick it up or we'll deliver it right to you. But as it pertains to Hanukkah specifically, we also have great packages at the individual restaurants.
So give me an example. Like, what's a Hanukkah dinner look like at one of your restaurants right now? What am I getting?
At Hub 51, we're doing matzo ball soup and brisket and, potato pancakes. And with our blueberry cake as well. So just like a great comforting meal. A number of our places are putting together packages like that. The full list and all the menus are on our website.
And that's leye.com, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Will you do something like this then around the Christmas holiday? Because my family is also kind of going through we're not going to do it the way we normally do, and I think we're going to end up ordering food in.
Well, you know, that's kind of been the fun part is that, you know, some of our restaurants are taking very traditional approaches and doing turkeys and ham and stuffing. And some places are doing like Peking duck and having more wild experiences. So you could have a Feast of Seven Fishes from RPM Italian or a Feast of Seven Fishes Seafood Tower from RPM Seafood. So, like, we're doing all sorts of different things. Again, the whole list of Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Hanukkah, New Year's Eve, even New Year's Day is going to be on our website. And like I said, there's traditional and not so traditional offerings.
By the way, my family loves the $100 gift cards because then we get $25 ourselves. You're still doing that, right?
You know, we don't like to take credit for being first too often, but I think we were one of the first groups to ever do that promotion. So, you buy 100 right now and you get $25 back to spend, in the first part of the year. And it's been something we've done for probably 30 years and really it's, one of our most popular promotions.
Yeah. Well, it's obvious why. It's good food and there's just such a great value. You feel like a fool if you don't do it that way.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I visited with an alderman a little while ago about what happened over at Ann Sather Restaurant and the fact that they were opened up while they were asking other businesses, restaurants, to close. And I know you guys have been towing the line on that. Do you have any comment or what was your reaction when you heard about something like that?
You know, I mean, we are in the public eye, so that's not something that we can do, and we are really dedicated to safety and doing things by the letter of the law, and we have a whole department dedicated to that. But, you know, I realize how tough this business is, and I have a lot of respect for any restaurateur going through this. You know, I don't care if they happen to be an alderman, and I know businesses are doing whatever they have to do to get by, and so, you know, I'm sympathetic, you know, anyone going, any business going through this time, you know, there's no playbook for this. So I don't like to fault people for that sort of stuff.
I like that line. There's no playbook for this. I really, you know, that's kind of, I think we've all had a lot of different emotions, but at the end of the day, I know people are just struggling to survive. That's the motivation.
And really what it comes down to, I'm sure, is just keeping people working, you know, it's, you know, when you work, how do you want to tell someone that, hey, you know, it's too dangerous now? People have been doing this all summer.
The holidays are here. Hanukkah starts tomorrow. Yeah. It's Christmas season, too. And if you want to let somebody do good cooking, leye.com, leye.com. Jared, nice to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. We're glad you were able to join us.